December 5, 2019. It's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watford-Pedro show. Happy December. 3 weeks. No, 2 weeks. I turned 62. Anyway, we start off the show with John Coltrane with Miles Davis doing Dr. Jackal. And then Salvation with Palinopsia. This is some kind of affliction I don't know of. But with me, Brother Matt's visiting New York City right now. But I'm in my pad here in Pedro, but not totally man alone because through the wonders of those Estonian software engineers and their Skype invention, I got with me Jason, Victor, and Santiago of Salvation. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And you're calling from Chicago?
Yes, we're from Chicago.
I mean, but right now you're speaking from Chicago.
Yes, we're speaking from Chicago.
Okay. Who wants to go first? We're going to talk about some musical journeys here.
We go ahead and fire away.
You first, Jason.
Okay, Jason, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Probably the Beatles with my parents. And they got me into, like, a lot of classic rock as a child, like the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. My sisters kind of got me more into, like, Black Sabbath and AC/DC, some Pink Floyd. So just kind of, like, the classic rock stuff.
So in the pad, just listeners, did anybody make music themselves?
My dad was a piano player, and my grandma was a jazz singer. She actually did a lot of touring when she was younger. So on my dad's side, there was some musicians in the family.
Because he was a piano player, was there a piano in the house?
There was, yeah.
Were you asked to take lessons?
I never really, like, adapted to the piano very well. I started playing snare drum in grade school, and then I tried to pick up the full kit, and I didn't really adapt to it naturally, so then I just moved to guitar after that.
When did you get your first guitar?
When I was 15, I got a Fender Squire Strat.
And when you did snare drum in school, was it part of the school band or the choir, marching band or something like that?
Yeah, it was part of the school band. We do recitals and what school bands do.
Did you learn how to read music for drums?
I did, but it kind of like wasn't as exciting as I had envisioned being a drummer, sticking to the snare. I mean, I think it was important for me to do to understand rhythm and timing and music and get involved more in music, but I just really wanted to be a rock and roll drummer.
So what about, like, after school, did you have some basement, garage, bedroom bands?
Yeah, I started a band with some pals shortly after, and we practiced in the garage and in my buddy's basement, and just kind of formed like a little noisy trio, which I ended up continuing to do later in life.
Yeah. Now, did you write songs right away, or did you copy off of records?
I started learning some riffs off of a Jimi Hendrix album, Are You Experienced? And I think I started learning Manic Depression, and then I started learning some tunes from Dark Side of the Moon, some riffs off that record.
Okay, so you're all you're self-taught on the guitar, right?
Yeah.
So you learn by copying the, that's kind of like a little bit.
Yeah, just playing by ear and copying the records I would play in my room.
Did that band have a name?
I'm trying to remember what that. I think it was called Jaundice.
Jaundice. And did you ever do gigs?
We did. We'd play at like other friends' houses, and I think we played some like church basements where they allow people to throw shows.
Wow. Okay. Do you remember your first gig?
My first gig was in a parking lot. I can't remember the store that was outside of, but it was like a little outside parking lot show called Fred Fest.
Fred Fest. So it was like a festival for Fred.
Yeah.
Wow. No. This was jaundice, right?
Yeah.
And well, do you remember it? Did you do what, some of them Jimi Hendrix songs?
I think by that point we had written some songs and we were playing our own tunes.
What was the first song you wrote?
I think it was called Seaweed Queen, actually.
All right, Seaweed Queen.
Yeah.
Did you play it at that gig?
I did, yeah.
So what was it like to sing for people your own song for the first time?
It was pretty intimidating, but I enjoyed it.
It didn't scare you away. I want to play.
No, I kept to it.
Yeah, because I asked you that because this next song by you guys I want to play is called Failure. And this was not a failure.
The big men are gonna talk shop. 18 holes and dinner at the club. Prime rib, no Mexican slob. Everything's in place. The mark's been greased. He's drooling to be soaked. Oh, and a 9-iron for this lie, Jose. I just made a joke. Don't you wanna be like me? Don't you wanna be free like me? You're dismal, scratching, sucker line. I love how you look up to me. Crawled out of a New York sewer. Phony Christian porn star screwer. Ah, you know who I am. The POS POTUS. Charlie Tan. Glad we can meet. Are your rooms okay? And did you have a good flight? I've lined up a little evening fun. Y'all like redheads, right? Gentlemen, how should we proceed? The rainbow rooster tap. I've got a roper lined up at Inside Man, and he's gonna take care of all that. Don't you wanna be like me? Don't you wanna be free? Beyond free, I can get away with anything. I love how they all envy me. I'm the king of slink and slime. Show me you're weak and you're all mine, cause I'm a self-made man. That MAGA monster, Charlie Tan. The banks are in my pocket, and my lawyers clog the courts. The law slides off my snakeskin back, and all the judges, they've been bought. All you gotta do is just sit tight and watch this dumb jump squirm, cause that's the way the world is. Gentlemen, watch and learn. Don't you wanna be like me? Don't you wanna be free like me? I'm the master destructor. I love how they believe in me. Crawled out of a New York sewer, made a bit at the backs of the poor, that vulgar lying. Yeah, I'm the stable genius, Charlie Tan. Charlie Tan. Charlie Tan. Charlatan. Charlie Tan. Charlie Tan. Charlatan. 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 Charlatan.
There is no point in fixing it out of your hands. You'll get back in again, I know. Grinding our rings through their noses, all in all accounted, but lost with your own faults.
For Pivo Show, yeah, that's Failure from Salvation. Then we had Chris Butler, Brand New, Charlie Tan, Hallelujah, You Duck. I think they're from Italy. Chris is from Akron, Cleveland. The Mids, Not Now, Charleston. Wish Granters, that's, yeah, Jamie, the pride she brought here. I played bass on it. Jimmy played drums. And Vince Moroney played sax, harmonic. Henry Kaiser after that Frosty Boy Antarctica. I just saw him in a Werner Herzog interview. He's talking about working with Henry. Some piece he did on Antarctica. Can-Can Heads out of Finland with Rugged Locator. Automatic Remorse, Bowfly. Guided by Voices. No point. Guided by Voices is going to play downtown L.A. on New Year's. And they're going to do 100 songs. Can you believe? And then finally, New Milk from Salvation. So, Victor, you're next. What's your earliest musical memory?
Probably Curtis Mayfield at my parents' house when they were cleaning.
Yeah, he was Chicago, huh?
Yeah, my dad loved all that Chicago stuff.
What was his band? Impressions?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, he's incredible. And really young, too. I was reading about his story.
They were kids.
And get this. He was doing a tour of city halls. This is in the 80s. And he played long, you know, for free, play out in front of the city hall. He did one in Long Beach, and I saw him. And the next day, he flew to Brooklyn, and that light fell on him and paralyzed
him. Yeah, paralyzed him. Yeah.
I saw his last gig.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, we were way into it. There's a record called Curtis Live, a double album.
It's so good.
SST, you know, Dezo brought it into SST, and we play that every day. Loved it.
Yeah.
Love that.
Oh, it's amazing.
It seems even got a weird Carpenter cover, but still fucking him. Great basement. A guy named Lucky,
yeah.
I think, played bass. He was bad. So, okay. So, was there people who played music in the house?
No musicians in the family, just music lovers.
Yeah, listeners. Okay.
Yeah.
So what about the school thing? Did you do, like I asked Jason, the band or the choir?
No, I was a basketball player back then, and then my parents were like, you have to learn an instrument because all the other white kids at the school are playing piano, and we can't afford a piano, so I got a guitar.
Okay, how old?
I was like 12.
12? Acoustic or electric? Yeah.
An acoustic.
And they had you take lessons?
Yeah, they paid for 1 week of lessons, and then I had a recital where I played Ode to Joy, just the notes.
Oh, wow.
And then we couldn't afford it anymore, so the guitar sat around for a while till I got to high school.
Ah, okay. Kind of went into hibernation.
It did, yeah. I was, like, skateboarding and stuff instead, but...
You know, we're in a similar situation. James Williamson, you know, between the two times he played with Ig, like 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, his son told me about this essay he wrote for school called The Caskets in the Corner. It was about the guitars never coming out of cases. Like, they're caskets, you know. That's a trip.
Yeah.
So... you start playing guitar again in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then...
But how'd you move over to bass?
Really, it was really... when I met back up with Jason, he was living in St. Louis and came back to Chicagoland, and we just happened to run into each other in front of a library. And I was like, man, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while. And he was like, hey, you still playing? I just got back and wanted to start a band. He had recorded some demos and shown them to me. And I was like, this is too good for me to not be a part of it. So whatever, you know, he had recorded the guitar and bass parts. And I was like, whatever I can play in this band, I just want to be in. So my friend, my roommate at the time had a bass laying around. And
what kind?
I grabbed it. It was like a Yamaha, I think.
Yeah.
It was pretty ugly. It was pink and... but it worked, you know.
Yeah, what'd you use for an amp?
Whatever amp was at the bar we did open mics at, I didn't even have a bass amp. Jason made me buy a bass amp.
How'd you do practice?
At these studios and, at my other friend's house who I was in a punk band with, we had a guitar. or I was playing guitar in this punk band, and, you know, after that practice, we would sit in and jam a little bit.
Okay, so Jason wasn't your first band. What was this punk band called?
It's the Pastaways. It's like a horror punk.
Well, yeah.
It's a real Misfits tribute.
Yeah, but he made a band. In fact, I played with him in at the Metro. Sam Hain.
Yeah.
Do you remember Sam Hain?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that was one of his things after Glenn's things after Misfits.
For sure. And, yeah.
What was the bass man's name? He had a trippy name. I can't
was it Doyle?
No.
It wasn't Doyle.
Yeah. Jerry and Doyle were the Misfit guys.
Right.
This guy, I think his name was like Eerie or something. Or Von Eerie or something.
My buddies were huge horror punk fans and horror movie fans, so, you know, that wasn't really my thing. I just wanted to play guitar fast. Sure.
But did you end up writing songs?
Yeah. Yeah. I've written a few real not great songs. So,
we're talking about the Pastaways, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have two albums worth of mediocre.
Oh, so you recorded with these guys too. Okay.
Yeah. 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 But once I heard Jason's tunes, I was like, oh, yeah, this is quality songwriting. I want to be a part of this. So he made me buy a PV TNT 115, which I kind of still swear by. Those
115 is enough for you?
Well, not so much anymore, but it was at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been using 312s.
Sure.
But they're fucking powerful.
Yeah, I'm using a 410 Ampeg now. It blares.
Yeah, I got a problem with. I'd rather use two 210s than a 410. I think 410 boxes are out of phase. But that's
fair.
I'd rather have two 10s, two boxes stacked on top of each other sideways. So you got them all in alignment. More punch.
Sure. That's interesting.
That's just something. You don't have to believe it's just a Watt thing, you know.
I'll take your word for it. I'm not going to dispute you on anything. No.
I'm here to learn, too. Believe me, Victor. Yeah. We should get to Santiago, the drummy, stick man with the beat in his hand.
Cool. Thanks. Here he is.
Absolutely. Santiago, your earliest
music. Hey, how's it going?
Earliest music memory?
That's probably gotta be listening to like oldies 104.3 with my parents. It's like, you know, just straight up 50s and 60s classics. I feel like that is the kind of music that if I ever hear it, I just get transported to being a kid, and it just reminds me of like the most simple kind of parts of music that really need to exist.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna ask you the same thing. Was there any instruments? Are people just listeners, your parents?
So my parents are not musically gifted. My dad fancies himself a crooner. And he's like, you know, my dad's born in the 40s, so he loves old music, but he's actually a huge Ozzy fan. So both my parents are very big music people. My mom was like her only sister who listened to Black Sabbath, but my aunt and uncle are actually both classically trained clarinet players.
Whoa, licorice stick.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. It's a different dynamic.
Let me ask you this, too, about school. Did you play in any of the bands or do that stuff, sing in the choir?
No, I actually really regret not ever playing drums or anything in high school. In grade school, I was in a lot of musicals. I'm a big fan of the musicals. Fiddler on the Roof, Grease, you know, Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of know about musicals. West Side Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That trippy one called Carousel. I don't know if you know that
one. I don't know if
I
know that one.
Yeah, it's the big song is used by a lot of soccer teams. You'll Never Walk Alone or some shit. That's a big to now that. Anyway, how did you get on the drums? I'm curious.
So actually that was, I just always wanted to be a singer in a punk band, and when I first heard, like, DIY, you know, like, hardcore bands when I was in high school, I just got obsessed with doing that, and nobody would ever have a drum set, nobody wanted to really put forth the effort, so I just bought, like, a really terrible, almost toy drum set, just so that people would be in a band with me.
How old were you?
And I just ended up, you know...
How old
were you? I was 16.
Okay, so you're, like, in high school.
Yeah, I was in high school. I was, like, yeah, I wished I kind of taken to it earlier, but, you know.
You know, Vincent painted only his last 10 years of his life. It comes with Joe Bison, Sacred Trust, started guitar at 27. You know, the old days.
So there's still hope.
Yeah, the old days, the movement was big about people that never played playing, so you were totally in that tradition. Of course, some well
I really like that.
No wine before it's time. Where did you practice? In your bedroom?
I actually practiced my mom's life dream. She grew up always in apartments in Chicago. Her life dream was to have a house. So she got that around the time I was like 15, and she let me play drums in the basement. She was very supportive.
Whoa. Did you make a band right away?
Yeah, I made a band right away with a bunch of my high school buddies that I, you know, hung out with. We were all of very different mindsets, but I was dead set on making a punk band.
What'd you call it?
It was called Sleeping Creepers.
Right. Sleeping Creepers.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys, did you write your own songs or did you copy off of records?
We made all our own songs. I wrote some on guitar as well as sung, and then our drummer ended up kind of becoming one of those runaway, you know, train hopping kids, so I just had to play drums out of default, you know?
Ah, so you were playing guitar in this band?
I was actually singing, but I was writing stuff on guitar.
Okay, okay.
But
were you one of these, what is it, Henley? Who's the guy in the Eagles? Were you like a drummer man who sang?
I love that. I think it's a really cool dynamic. I feel like if there's one thing I struggle with, it was singing and drumming.
Yeah.
But I think you get a different dynamic on vocals when you're playing drums at the same time. It's hard to replicate that in the studio, but I feel like you can get a real different way of raging with that.
There was a band, I think the only white band signed to Motown was Rare Earth, and they had a singing drummer. Interesting.
Singing drummers.
Yeah, really interesting. I'm into it. So we're at the end of the first hour, December 5, 2019, edition Watt Peter Show, special guest, Salvation. Hold tight for hour two. December 5, 2019, it's the second hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
God, it's coming. Get what you deserve. No time for praying. Flower of flesh and blood. I will wait until darkness comes, then I'm coming after you. Son of a dirty bitch, I'll make you pay. This is judgment day. You better win. Start running away from me.
I saw it in a movie, document of crime and greed, murder in the first degree, and I could hardly tear my eyes off the screen, and the screaming, screaming, the mourning, the crying man, that's why,
that's why,
that's why,
that's why. Crime and greed, murder.
in the first degree, and I could hardly tear my eyes off the screen.
Beaver Show. Start off the second hour with Salvation doing Welcome Home. Then Galactacy with Pendulum. Unlux. Mogwai. Alexander Large. I think he's in Milano now. Yeah. The Dead You Got. Sorry. Maya and the Revolutionary Hell Yeah. Of the City. That's why. And finally, Year of the Fly, Salvation. It's a great tune. Let's talk about, Victor already kind of gave us a hint on how the band got together. But, somebody's going to ask you about Salvation. Now that I've met all three members, introduce me to the band, how it got together, all that.
After I ran into Victor, we had gone through a few drummers that just weren't quite gelling, and I had popped into a venue and caught a random show in Chicago and saw Santiago playing, and I just really liked his kind of untraditional style of playing drums, and he hit really hard, and I liked how aggressive he was with the kit. So we talked to him about jamming.
Was this and, the Creepers? Did you see the Creepers?
No.
Oh.
This wasn't the Sleeping Creepers. This was Salvation.
No, but where did you see Santiago play?
Oh, That was with his band, The Baby Magic, and it was at a club called the Burlington in Chicago.
Okay, so he had more than just Sleeping Creepers. He also had The Baby Magic.
Yeah, I think we've all been in a long string of bands since our first ones.
Okay. Anyway, so you see Santiago playing and you're digging his thing. So
yeah.
By this time, you and Victor, you're already calling yourself Salvation?
Uh-huh.
Did you name the band?
Yeah, I came up with that name when I was in St. Louis, and I had worked with a few different musicians out there. But it was just kind of like a concept for an aggressive band, and I liked that name. So we kind of held on to it.
Okay. And so what was the first gig you did with Santiago? You had other drummers, right? So you guys had already been doing gigs, right?
Yeah, we did a handful of shows around Chicago, but it just wasn't feeling right, or they were kind of obnoxious personalities, and it wasn't coming together.
Yeah, that's one thing, you know, when it comes to, like, what I found, you know, you can practice and get better at working an instrument, playing with a band, but you can't really do that with personalities.
Yeah, no, if it's not somebody you want to hang out with.
Yeah, you can't fix it. You can't get better at it. It's like kind of the way it is.
Yeah, sometimes you're just a jerk.
I don't try to get all know-it-all about that, but that's what I've discovered, man. Jesus, I'd rather take some dude who's still learning, you know, and you just work at it, but he's got the good personality.
Yeah.
Some of these other guys, you know, they came. You think they were born with wearing a tiara or something.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I want to play this song.
Fortunately, Santiago and Victor and I, we all enjoy each other's company and hang out when we're not on tour, when we're not playing shows, and we tour really well together. So,
well, that's the reason why, you know, I figured that, and that's why I wanted to play this next song by you guys, Slit My Throat.
met you in the evening. At some Camden Town cafe. And you fed me sweets and coffee. Tired of building new rhyming that can feel the grip of it. So tired of drawing to this day. And I feel the blue spark of a first flame of a deadly love for you. Yeah. And you left me in the morning. With the sunlight across your face. And you kissed my closed eyes softly. Never made me so sad alive, but if I'm lucky, I just might get used to it. And I feel the blue spark of a first flame of a deadly love for you. Yeah. Turn me to ashes and bones. Burn me, yeah, burn me. I don't want to leave you alone.
Why for Peter show? Slit my throat. Salvation. Somehow that kind of goes together. Then Smart Cities, Dumb People by M.B. Jones. Dardo with Within Without. The Opium Trail, Land of Thousand Dances. I met this guy. He was from the 60s, Scotland. Cover band. I guess that was big in the 60s. The Lilacs with Blue Spark. Mold Omen with Green Sleeves from their Christmas record out of Baltimore. And finally, Peter Cowald and Damon Smith, two stand-up basses, doing Broken Mirrors, April 28th, 1. So what was the first gig like with Santiago, all three of you guys?
Do you remember where that was?
Liars.
Oh, yeah, it was at this club called Liars Club in Chicago, which is like a really kind of like dirty kind of fun punk bar. Yeah, that was our first gig. We played with some other aggressive heavy punk bands, and it just kind of felt right.
And how many practices did you have with Santiago? Were you guys all ready to go?
I think we had been practicing for maybe like a month or so at that time.
Yeah, that's more okay. And he's a quick learner. Yeah, he's writing songs and stuff. There's a drummer man here, SoCal, named Bob Lee. I played with him in a bunch of stuff. And, man, some drummers really have good ways of systematizing a song so they can put it in parts, you know, and know it. Bob Lee's really good at this. Now, I think, if you really want my personal thing about instruments, everybody should learn drums and then go on to their clarinets and shit like that. Because the rhythm thing, you know, we're all doing rhythm. And it seems the drummers are the only ones kind of upfront about it, and I think that's why people always gave him a reputation of being stupid and shit, because they actually have all the power. You were at the gig at Shuba's, of course.
Yeah.
We talked after the gig. But you see where I put my drummers. This was a big mistake, I think, with the Minutemen. Me and D. Boone should have never kept George Hurley in the back. That was so fucking stupid. We should have put him way up front. Yeah, so especially somebody like George Hurley. You know what I mean? I mean. I don't know why that came. Maybe because more equipment or something. You got to put him up on a fucking cake. I don't know. But this idea of the drummer. Here's what I really hate is like my ass in their face. You know, I really hate it.
I'm sure they hate it more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be right about that. Had an odor to it. But there's an idea where you can look right across, and there he is. And I could see Tom Watson. I mean, I was playing with a drummer that was maybe 7 months short of 40 years younger than me. That would have never fucking happened in the old days. I got to say, people are much more open-minded these days. Old days.
Yeah, we try to keep a pretty close knit. We stay pretty close to each other on stage. We interact physically a lot, so I think that's kind of important too with the dynamic of staying in tune with each other. You know.
Yeah, staying in tune. You know, Minutemen, we never had tuners. It cost a lot of money, so you just try to get flat at the same time. Get looser and looser as the gig goes on. Yeah, it was kind of trippy that way, but I mean, they had these strobe tuners, but they were like hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and they worked really trippy, the spinning wheel. And I remember it
was, so well. What was your first show at the Minutemen?
Yeah, it was at Harvard College, a junior college here in Wilmington, and had a different drummer. First two gigs, we had this guy named Frank Tonsi, a welder guy. And then he quit after the second gig. He didn't want, he said the scene was too weird. Left his drums, everything. And Georgie came back, because actually we had a band with Georgie called Reactionaries. And then Georgie comes back. Greg Ginn asks us to be SST-002, and he learns the whole shit in 3 weeks. We go and record Paranoid Time. Yeah. Georgie saved our mission. We're at the end of the second hour. December 5, 2019, Dishawap Pedro Show, special guest Salvation. Hold tight for hour three.
That's a pretty key heavy tune.
December 5, 2019, it's the third hour. A Wap for Pedro Show.
change for a minute in life. I thought that doesn't mean much at all. Unless you find someone you can share it with. I know that you've always been there, but the time was never right. But now it seems to be waiting for us. Don't you know that it's never too late to fall in love with that special someone? Don't you know that it always meant to be? With love we'll find the key. I'm so happy to be with you, and the moments that we share together are worth everything to me. I'm sure that the love that we have will be able to weather the storm that may come away, because our love is strong. Don't you know that it's never too late to fall in love with that special someone? Don't you know that it always meant to be? With love we'll find the key.
For those lies. dark in the sky, but it's shining light on all that love you buried alive in the cold blue moonlight. Bedazzling, bedeviling, bizarre, jolting you right to the shrapnel of an old broken heart. It's gonna be a battle getting better. It's gonna get better, alright. Better let me hold you through the cold blue moonlight. Of an old broken heart. It's gonna be a battle getting better. It's gonna get better, alright. Let me hold you through the cold blue moonlight.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Delusions and Grandeur from Salvation. And you say this was a key tune, Jason.
I'm sorry?
You say it's a key tune. Explain, please.
It's a key heavy tune. It was recorded on a Hammond B3 through a Leslie cabinet, the rotating Leslie cabinet.
Sure,
over
sure.
At,
my organ
electrical audio.
Yeah, my organ, second man, organ man, Pete Mazich, plays through a Leslie. I know in the 70s there was a lot of guitar players who did that stuff.
Oh, guitar players through Leslie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that? Steve Albini?
No, actually, I had written the song on a keyboard, and then I asked our engineer, Mike Lust, if there was some keys around that we could use, and he snuck us over into Studio A from B, because it wasn't occupied at the moment, and we saw the Hammond over there and the Leslie cabinet, so we decided to capitalize on the moment.
Okay. I spent a week there when Stooges made the weirdness. I caulked in one of the little rooms. He had cats.
Were you guys over in A, I would imagine?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We also played Crane doing With Love, Kangaroo Court, late great Richard Derrick, Better Things to Do, Corey Brandon with Cold Blue Midnight, Troposphere 7 with Land, Boat to Boat to Ride, and finally Charm School, Salvation. Charm School.
We're working on it.
So you recorded this album at Electric Audio in Chicago. That's Steve Albini's place. And how long did it take?
We did 3 days in electrical. And we did all the primary tracks, like drums, bass, and guitar live. And then we did all the vocals and electrical. And then we did some minimal overdubbing with guitar and vocal, and then at keys at Mike Lust's studio, Phantom Manor.
Right. And production?
Yeah, the mixing and whatnot.
Yeah. Who was that? You guys?
Yeah, Mike Lust and myself and all of us.
Yeah, yeah. We used to be, the Minutemen never was involved with mixes. We were so scared of ruining shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid of others ruining shit.
Interesting to do it. So, you didn't have Steve Albini, what I remember was he didn't want to use direct on the bass guitar. Just microphone.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually a fan of that myself.
Is that what you did with Victor?
Yeah, I just mic'd up.
So you didn't use a direct?
I don't think so, no.
Trippy.
We recorded it to tape, so...
Right.
I was afraid it might get a little muddy, but it sang through.
And he's got quite a mic collection, too.
Yeah, that, too. I mean, it helped. I'm sure the mic we were using was $1,200 or something.
I want to play this Darkest Storm. What can you tell me about this song?
It kind of came about as a part of another jam that of a song we ended up scrapping, but we really liked this one part of it. So... we just expounded on it for 5 minutes.
Okay, let's listen.
And added some dynamics and vocals. So it was a pretty collaborative effort, this one.
Drinking the devil's blood was cursed when he was born. He was born on Friday the 13th. It was a full moon. And a black cat crossed his mother's path. You can hear the ravens in the cemetery. A cold chill on his spine. And he sits and drinks the devil's blood. He rolls the bones. They keep coming up snake-eyed. He never wins a bet. Born to lose, tattooed on his chest. And he sits and drinks the devil's blood. He makes his way past the graveyard, covered in black. Walking hand in hand with the Grim Reaper. He laughs at death. Drinking the devil's blood. In the dark and light the candle. The wax melts onto the skull. You can hear the wolves howling in the background. Another full moon. Another black cat. Sits all alone.
wasn't faking it. The hurt I felt was real, and all that was holy just slowly disappeared and disappeared. In parking lots or truck stops, the blinking lights.
Watford Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Bass-driven song, Dark and Stormy from Salvation. The collaborative effort. You ever start songs off with the bass?
Not particularly. No. Because this is, if I had to say there was one, it would be this. This is the Stark and Stormy is the closest, but it's usually, you know, Jason brings a skeleton of a song to the table and we just do our thing.
Because I've been using bass as a composition tool for a long time, and it's trippy when the guys play to you.
Yeah.
Instead of you being the last thing added, you know, and it's not a reggae song, you know.
Right. I got a buddy who says I should, you know, look into that, because I've only ever written songs on guitar.
It is trippy. Yeah. It is trippy, because it doesn't have as much harmonic content, so it kind of frees up the guys you're collaborating with. It still has rhythm, it still has starts and stops, but you're not filling up all the voice of the chords, you know? Actually, people like Nels Klein, they love it. Other people, man, that's like writing a song on kick drum, you know? Cymbals. Chico Hamilton tried to get songwriting credit. They said, no, drummers can't write songs. Can you believe that bullshit? This was in the 60s. We had Carnage Asada doing Devil's Blood. Damien Arado with What Are the Chances? Brother Phil with Abby Normal. Impatiently Dreaming of Peace, Peace. And Wait For It from Salvation. Wait For It. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find us on Instagram and Facebook.
Is there a Salvation? Is there a Salvation website?
I think we mostly just operate through Bandcamp and our Instagram page and our Facebook page.
Well, my advice is get a Salvation website. That's like having your own fanzine.
All right. Let me get on that.
And then from there, you can, you know, put stuff on those other telephone poles. But
right.
That's just my recommend. Get a Salvation website. And but people can find you like Bandcamp. Okay. And hear the new music, you guys. Are you going to tour this record?
Yeah, we just finished a tour out to Brooklyn and back, and we're gonna head out to Austin next month and hit a few shows there and back, and then I think we're gonna do another tour the following month.
Ooh, all the good weather time.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially for tough Midwestern people.
We're used to it.
Yeah, I am so scared of any snow or ice on the road. Oh my God, spoiled California.
We're used to it.
And I don't know. Have you guys noticed people are driving more and more like assholes?
Yeah.
You know, I just did this tour. It was 45 gigs, 45 days. About 13,380 miles. I drove every one of them.
Oh my God. No. Yeah. That's brutal.
Yeah, well, the hardest part was the other drivers. It's gotten a lot worse, especially the last 3 years. My hands at the end of the tour were like mittens. It's kind of good, though, because the vibrations. I'm right now doing some front-end work. You know, I was feeling a little too much vibration. Sure enough, ball joints and tie rod ends, I got to replace them. But I love the boat, you know, it keeps us safe. I want you guys safe, too. The younger people ask you for advice. What would you tell them, Jason?
As far as starting a band?
Whatever, music.
Yeah, I would just say, like, don't get discouraged, and don't try to fit into any trends, and just kind of make what feels right to you.
That's good stuff. Victor?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I mean, you're... your first few efforts are not going to be the best, typically, so just power through. I mean, you got to fail a whole lot to get some success in life. So,
except for Orson Welles, his first movie.
Yeah, right.
He said that ended up wrecking everything after that. And Santiago, yeah. Santiago, advice from you.
Yeah, I would say kind of along the lines of what these guys are saying, just like, you know, follow your heart, live your truth, don't try to do something that you think is what other people think is the thing to do. And I've luckily been privileged enough to only make music that is just music I like and want to hear, and I would say to just do that and don't try to do something because, you know, it's a trend or something along those lines.
Yeah, I like that. I like what all three of you guys kind of agree on. And it's been a big honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much for talking to me, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much, man. It was a real pleasure.
An honor and a pleasure, Mike. Thanks.
Right back. And be safe on that road, because we need you
for
another record, right? After all this
touring. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. People, it's been December 5, 2019 edition of the Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.